God. I'm sorry, but how many can truly give thanks to God? He has done great things. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I come before you in this moment, Father God. First and foremost, Lord Jesus, to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, because you deserve it, Lord God. You are worthy, Father God, to be worshiped in this place, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, because your presence has been made known here today, dear Lord God. We have felt your presence today, Lord. Lord God, I present this word. You've given it to me, dear Lord Jesus, and it has ministered to my heart, Lord God. I pray that it would fall today on fertile ground, Lord God. I pray that every ear, Father God, would be receptive today to what you have to say, Father God. I pray that today every eye would be opened in this place, dear Lord Jesus, to see beyond what is before us, dear Father God, and to see what lies ahead of us, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are worthy, Father God, of all praise, and I glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. May your name be made great today, dear Father God. Hallelujah. Remove me from this, dear Lord Jesus, and let it be you speaking today, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, and I praise your holy name. Hallelujah. For you are good, Lord Jesus, and your mercies, they endure forever, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, my God. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. I don't know about you, but I feel overwhelmed by his presence today. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You can remain seated throughout the reading of the scripture. Today, I want to speak to you under the theme, Eyes Wide Open. And I'm going to ask you guys to open your Bible apps, open your physical app Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to ask you to stay there, because we're going to keep referring back to this chapter as I speak the word today, Lord. Praise the living name of Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 6. And today's key verses, they're found in verses 15, 16, and 17a, the top of 17a. Praise the Lord. And the word of the Lord reads as follows. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This story that's in the Old Testament has always fascinated me. It has always fascinated me. And it's found here in 2 Kings chapter 6. And the main character of this story is a prophet named Elisha. Not to be confused with the great prophet known as Elijah. To give you guys a little bit of context of what's going on here, Israel, the people of Israel in their early days, after King David and King Solomon have died, Israel ends up being divided into two parts. We have Israel in the northern kingdom, and then we have Judah in the southern kingdom. And what we see following this division is that there's a succession of kings that occur, right? And when you read the stories and you read throughout scriptures, you're going to see that some of these kings, you know, they were more successful than others, and all of them were less than perfect. They're continually fighting off invaders from the outside. But what you'll also see is that Israel is actually suffering more from the spiritual decay that's happening to them within the inside. Because of their lack of faith, it's happening because they have a lack of faith, and it's happening because of their continued persistence in worshiping of idols. So in order for God to show them the way to a life of faithfulness, God sends Israel prophets. He sends Israel prophets like Elijah and Elisha, which easily, hands down, had to have been two of the most prominent prophets of all the Old Testament. They were prophets that lived their lives. They embodied the Spirit of God, and they lived their lives loudly proclaiming God's power over people, God's power over the elements, and God's power over situations. How many of you know today that God's power, it is over it all? It's over it all. Elisha, he was an apprentice to Elijah, and he got to witness his mentor be raptured to heaven by a chariot with horses of fire. And after witnessing this incredible event, Elisha ends up receiving a double portion of his mentor Elijah's spirit. When you read scriptures, you'll see that Elisha, he was the director of a school of prophets. How awesome is that? A school of prophets, of men dedicating their lives simply to hearing the voice of the Lord. He was their director. We see that he advises four different kings. And his ministry, it reached all kinds of people classes. It reached from poor to rich, from noble to poor, as well as from Jew to foreigner. He's a man of great faith. He has no doubts whatsoever in God. And for Elisha, there is literally nothing that could stop God physically or scientifically. Man, I'd love to see what Elisha would do with our government officials in this day and age. To him, there was nothing that could stop God physically or scientifically. He worked within the system of his society. And what I love about this is that he did it without compromising himself. It's unfortunate that we have a lot of leaders that rise up to work within society and political stations, but they end up compromising themselves for the sake of people, for gaining people and gaining votes. Elisha wasn't that kind of a leader. He worked within society in order to promote a positive effect in this society, and he was able to do it without compromising himself. You're going to see when you read the story of Elisha that he was a man of courage. He wasn't afraid of people. He wasn't afraid of armies. He believed wholeheartedly that this very life of his was in God's hands, and that God was the one that was in control of protecting him. So with that said, I want to delve into this story that's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to start first in verse 8. So if you'll go with me there, 2 Kings 6, verse 8. It says, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. I want you to take notice of what this verse, the wording in this verse. It says, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel. So in other words, this is nothing new to Israel. This has happened before. This is not the first time that Israel is going through this. By the way, Aram, back in the Bible, is known today as modern-day Syria. This is nothing new. They're still going through it. They're still going through it. Which brings me to my first point. My first point is, recurring problems, they're no match for God. That recurring problem, that recurring situation, it is no match for the God of Israel. You see, Israel had a very real enemy in the physical world. I want you to know that we have a very real enemy in the spiritual world. And like Israel, there are going to be moments when everything is okay. Everything is going well. Everything is at peace. And then there's going to be moments when it feels like all hell broke loose. The cycle repeats itself over and over again. But I want you to know that it's no match for God. God didn't forget about Israel, just as he doesn't forget about you. He has everything that he has given us. He has given us everything that we need in order to be a victorious people. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter warns us. He says, be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith. Peter warns us. He says, be alert. In other words, be on the lookout. Keep watch and don't let your guard down. And guys, honestly, I believe that this is where we as a people and we as a church are failing. We're failing. Even Jesus warned us time and time again that we are to remain watch. We're to keep watch and guard ourselves. The problem is that just like the disciples in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, we keep falling asleep. Jesus said to the disciples, keep watch and pray so that you will not be given into temptation. But the disciples physically kept falling asleep. They had no clue. They didn't understand back then that their failure to physically stay awake would symbolically be a symbol to the church today that is spiritually sleeping. They didn't know. Spiritual sleep means we've let our guard down. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above everything else, because it determines the course of your life. Now, more than ever, we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our faith so that we're not led astray. We need to do that now more than ever. Israel's lack of faith and their persistent idol worship, it made them the perfect target for physical and spiritual attack from the enemy. The writer continues and he says, and be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Usually when we hear the word sober, we automatically think of its opposite. We automatically think the opposite. Our minds automatically goes to being drunk and being high and being intoxicated and being under the influence. That's what we think of. Which simply put means that when these things are occurring, you are not under control. You're not under control of yourself. You're not under control of your own senses. You're not under control of your mind. And this is a dangerous place for anyone to be, because it opens the door to demonic influences. Because if you're not in control, then who is? I'm going to repeat that again. If you're not the one that's in control, then who is? It opens the mind to demonic influences that, let me tell you something, they will be more than happy to use the person's inebriated state to destroy you. More than happy. Oh, but neither, come on, maybe you're taking it too far. Demonic forces, really? Yes, really. Really. I'm not taking it too far. Yes, really. I'm being completely serious. We need to wake up and realize that the spirit realm is just as real, if not more real, than the physical realm that we live in. And if we're not walking in the spirit, if we are not walking in the spirit, then we're at risk of being spiritually attacked by the enemy. And we seriously need to stop downplaying the reality that there is a demonic realm that seeks to utterly destroy you. Stop downplaying it. Stop downplaying it. Acknowledge it for what it is. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter days, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Guys, we are living in those latter days. We're living in those latter days. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. We need to be sober-minded. We need to be in control of our mind, our actions, and our own senses, and not allow anything from the outside to intoxicate our influence and to poison us from the inside. That's what happened to Israel. The verse challenges us. It challenges us to be a people that are serious and sensible, people who are wise and rational, people who are studious and intellectual, someone who investigates things. But the problem is that unfortunately, and I might ruffle some feathers here today with this, but unfortunately, the extent of our search for truth and knowledge is found on what we see on social media. And let me tell you something about social media. I'm not against it. not against it. Everything in good measure, guys. Let me tell you something about social media. It has become Satan's number one choice of poison for God's people. I'm not saying that social media in and of itself is bad. I'm not. But the book of Proverbs tells us in chapter 25, verse 16, don't eat too much. Don't eat too much or it'll make you sick. Jesus. Guys, could you imagine what would happen? Could you imagine what would happen if the church spent as much time studying the word as it does watching Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, GroupMe, Instagram, WhatsApp, YouTube, Pinterest, Netflix, and the list goes on and on. And let me say, some of us have all those apps on our devices. And I'm not, again, I am not saying that there's anything wrong with it. There isn't. Everything in good measure. And it can be used for the honor and glory of God. But it can also be used as a device from the enemy to poison you. Jesus Christ. The list goes on and on. Some of you guys might be saying, but neither, that's not fair. I got a Bible app on my phone. I have a Bible app on my app. I have it too. I'm not saying that it's bad. And yes, Bible apps, they come in handy when the time comes, right? But the problem is, guys, the problem is that when it comes time for us, when it comes time for us to truly study scriptures, your Bible app ain't gonna cut it. It's not gonna cut it. You wanna know why? Because when it comes to research and when it comes to studying scripture, that requires time, it requires attention, and it requires concentration, and your phone and your devices were created to be distractions. They were created to do the exact opposite. The opposite. You can't concentrate and give your undivided attention when you're distracted by pop-ups and text messages and constant notifications. You can't. We need to be wise. I'm talking about falling asleep, guys. I'm talking about being alert about the things that come in and poison us and we don't even see it. We don't see it. We need to be wise and we need to be disciplined even when it comes to how much time we're spending on our electronic devices. Because if you are not careful, if you are not alert, if you let your guard down for one second when it comes to the things, these devices that we are holding in our hands and that we're placing in the hands of our children, it will suck you in. It'll suck you in. It will demand all of your time, all of your attention, all of your affection. It will become the first thing that you reach to in the morning when you open your eyes, and it will become the last thing that you touch at the end of the day when it's all over. It'll become an idol. It'll become an idol. I'm going to say it again. Don't allow yourself to be captivated by anything, by any type of influence that would lead you away from sound judgment. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. And we need to be sober-minded. Why? Because the devil, your enemy, is prowling around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Guys, have you ever seen a lion prowl for its prey? I'm sure somebody here has seen it in person or at least on National Geographic. When a lion hunts its prey, the lion is complete. Listen, the scariest part of a lion hunting is the fact that the prey is completely unaware of what is happening. He's completely unaware that the lion is lurking all but meters away until it's too late. And the prey either has to run for its life, or even worse, it loses its life altogether. Guys, you and I are the prey. You and I are the prey, and the devil is on the prowl looking to devour and to destroy. He's looking for people with their guard down, completely unaware. He is looking for people with their heads buried down instead of having their eyes lifted up to the hills from where their help comes from. He's looking for people who are completely unaware of what is happening. And my question to you today is, are you ready? Are you ready? The devil is not looking to just make your life miserable. No, he is looking to take you out. He's looking to keep you distracted just long enough for you to miss the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon, and he is looking for us to miss it. And those who are spiritually asleep are not going to see it coming until it's too late and you're left behind. That's the devil's goal for you, to destroy you here in the physical realm and cause you to lose your spiritual life for all eternity. Peter tells us, resist him. Resist him. Resist him when he comes roaring and baring his teeth in order to intimidate you. Resist. Stand firm. Stand firm on what, Naida? Stand firm on the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us a lot about standing firm. It tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they, and that is you and I, they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all, not some, put on all the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Guys, again, take it serious. There is an unseen world. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against what? Every ruler and authority where? In the unseen world. Against what? Mighty powers where? In this dark world. Against what? Evil spirits where? In the heavenly places. Matthew 6, 13, the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. God's word is clear. It teaches us that through our faith in Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, through our spiritual warfare by the Holy Spirit of God, and through our prayers, we are fully equipped to resist the enemy and stand firm. We are fully equipped. Jesus, he's equipped us to be able to stand firm and resist until the coming of Christ. The enemy's onslaught, I want you to know that his onslaught against us, it's constant, much like it was with Israel. We're going to experience moments where things are okay and then moments where things feel like hell broke loose. But until the day that Christ returns, be watchful, be alert, be sober-minded, and know that in Christ we have everything that we need to stand firm. The devil is defeated, and we are more than conquerors, and we should never, ever forget that greater is the one who is in you than the one that is in the world. He is greater. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 9 through 12. Look at what it says. So we know that Israel has been at constant war with Aram, right? But look at what it says here. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, don't go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on what? He'd be on alert. The king of Aram, look at what it says in verse 11. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, the king, one of his officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words that you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Which brings me to point number two. God still speaks. He still speaks. I work at a cardiology department in a clinic that usually brings an older crowd of people. Cardiology deals with the heart, and usually when we're older, that's when we worry about our heart, right? So it usually brings an older crowd of people, and many times, more often than I care to admit, I find myself trying to communicate with people because they're older, they're starting to lose their hearing. And so I end up having to turn, you know, adjust the way I'm communicating to them in order so that they can understand what I'm trying to say to them. You know, sometimes I gotta raise my voice because raising my voice makes it better. Sometimes I have to pull down my face mask so that they can see the movement of my lips and they can decipher what it is that I'm trying to say, right? And then sometimes I just have to change the phrases that I'm using and, you know, speak and, you know, use a different phrase, and then they're able to understand what I'm saying. Apparently, Elisha has absolutely no problem hearing at all. No problem hearing. His hearing is acute. And his hearing is so acute to the point that he's able to listen in on King Ben-Hadad as he is discussing battle plans with his forces and his troops. Now, how is it possible that Elisha could do this? How could this man do this? It's because Elisha is so fully in tune with God's message that he is able to hear and he is able to act on whatever God is telling him. He was so in tune that he could do whatever he needed to do according to what God was telling him. So to the point that he regularly reports what he's hearing from God to King Joram of Israel. And King Joram uses that intel to avoid trouble spots. Guys, I want you to know that God still speaks. He still speaks. The question is, are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? As I was getting this together, I was remembering. I don't know if you guys remember, but back in the day, whenever you wanted to listen to Radio Visión Cristiana, right? And all we had was that old AM, FM radio. And you had to turn that radio on to the AM station, right? And if you remember like me, FM always sounded better than AM, right? The quality of the FM station, but no, Radio Visión Cristiana had to be on the AM station. I think it was trying to teach us something now that I think about it. So you turn it on to the AM station. I remember that you had to sit there and turn that radio dial, right? You were turning the radio dial and you were looking for 1330 AM, right? You were looking for the 1330 AM station, and you had to keep turning and you had to keep adjusting the dial. You had to keep listening really close and really hard, because if you didn't listen, you would lose it. You would lose the station. And I remember that we would have to kind of turn the dial back and keep searching and keep looking for this station. Guys, bear with me, because as I'm preaching against devices and mine isn't working on me. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me find my spot one more time, because if not, we're going to have an issue here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, you had to keep searching for it, and you had to keep doing it until all of a sudden the sound would become clear. All of a sudden, you had to keep turning it until all of a sudden the worship music finally broke through the static. You had to keep turning that dial until all of a sudden the word of God would break through the muffled sound. Guys, you can sit here today and you could tell me God doesn't speak to me. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to ask you, how tuned in are you? How tuned in are you? How often are you tuning and turning the dial of prayer and fasting? How often are you turning and tuning the dial of study and worship, Bible study and worship? How intentional is our search to find the right channels of communication with God? Because God is still speaking. I'm going to ask you, are you listening? Are you listening to what he has to say? Are you searching for his voice through the white noise of this world? Or has his voice become muffled in your ears? Has it become muffled because we're too busy listening to all the other voices that are in this world that you can no longer decide which of them is the voice of truth? Let me tell you that any other voice that you may be listening to has been placed there strategically to create chatter and to create noise. in order to distract you and in order to mislead you. There are many times in scripture, many, when God scolded the Israelites. He scolded them for having eyes and ears and still refusing to see or hear what God was saying. God speaks to us primarily through his word. Psalms 119, 105 says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In this world that's so full of darkness, you can rest easy knowing that God's word is what illuminates the way in which you should walk. So neither how do I make my spiritual hearing more sensitive so that I can hear what the Lord is trying to tell me? How do I do it? It's simple. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2. He says, if you fully obey the Lord, that's where it is. We don't fully want to do it. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. And you'll experience all these blessings when you obey the Lord your God. Guys, it's one thing to listen, but listening to the voice of God and obeying it, that's a whole different ballpark. It's a whole different ballgame. Listening and obeying. When obedience to God comes into the picture, that is when he says that you'll experience his blessings. When we live a life out of obedience. So I challenge you today to wait on the Lord. I challenge you today to tune in the dial of prayer and fasting. I challenge you today to make time during your week, during your day, to set time aside to worship him and to read the word, because God is still speaking to his people. Hallelujah. He is still speaking to us today. Elisha didn't have some, he didn't have some extra order. You know what Elisha had? He had a life consecrated and obedient to God. That's what he had. There was no magic to this. He simply obeyed and trusted wholeheartedly in the Lord. And the Lord used him and spoke to him. And he can do the same with you if we were simply to choose that route for our lives. To obey, to listen and obey unto every word that he gives us. Tuned in the spiritual dial and keep tuning the dial until the reception fully becomes clear. Let's go back to 2 Kings 6. Verses 13 to 16. So we already know that Elijah hears everything. God is telling him everything that the king is saying, right? And the king is not happy about this. Look what 13 says. It says, "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back. He's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and they surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And here's our key verse for today. "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" asked the servant. And Elisha responds to him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." This brings me to point number three. We can sometimes be afraid, but we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear. Fear is no stranger to us. In fact, we're programmed to find peace in feeling safe and secure. That's how we're designed. We find peace when we feel safe and secure. When Elisha's servant got up the next morning and he goes outside, he finds himself confronted with an entire Aramean army. And scripture says that there were so many of them that they had the entire city surrounded. If you ask me, it sounds a bit excessive. It's a little excessive. I mean, Elisha's just one man. He's one man, and the king of Aram is so threatened by this one man that he sends a full military force to go and capture him. One man. You see, that's the thing about living your life in obedience to God. You end up becoming the enemy's ultimate threat. you end up becoming a threat to the enemy. You see, the enemy wants us to fully believe that we are without help and that we are without hope. The servant's response to the situation, guess what? It was a natural response. He responded naturally to what his human eyes perceived. And sometimes our human eyes perceive the situations that we are in. We perceive them to be too great. God, this is too much. It's too overwhelming. It's too much to bear. And oftentimes our prayer to the Lord, it sounds a lot like the servant's response. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get through this? There's no way out of this. But thank God. Thank God that the servant had an Elisha. Thank God that the servant had someone who could bring him back to reality. How many of us can say, thank you, God, for the spiritual friends I have? Thank you, God, for the leaders and the mentors that you've placed in my life that are always ready, willing, and able to point me back to the cross. Thank you, God. The servant responded according to what his human eyes perceived, but Elisha responded to what his spiritual eyes were perceiving in the spirit realm. And as a result of what he was seeing, he didn't respond in fear. Instead, Elisha responds to his servant, don't be afraid. Let me say it a little louder for those who are in the back. Don't be afraid. Because those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. Hallelujah. Elisha's words, they echo 1 John 4:4, where it says, you have already won the victory over these people. Guys, you've already won the victory over your situation. Why? Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in this world. Hallelujah. God's word reassures us. It reassures us time and time again. Look at Psalms 121:2. It says, my help, it comes from the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Hallelujah. And another very important verse is found in Psalms 37:4. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he rescues them. And then we have Psalms 27:3 that says, though a mighty army surround me, my heart, Lord, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, you will remain. I will remain confident. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Hallelujah. I can sometimes be afraid, but I don't have to live in fear because the one that is with me, the one that is with you, is greater than those that are with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 6. Verse 17, it says, and Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed. Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and the servant looked, and he saw the hills. The hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And this brings me to my final point. Point number four is, God's good news is our ultimate reality. God's good news, that's our ultimate reality. Elisha definitely saw that there were military leaders surrounding the city. And this army, with all its military leaders, clearly thought that they were in control. But Elisha saw something greater. He saw an angel army that had been sent by God. Elisha knew full well that this angelic army was far stronger than the physical army that was standing before them. Elisha knew that this angelic army was stronger than any demonic force in the spirit realm and any physical force in the natural realm. He knew that they were more in control than any human eye could see. Elisha, let me tell you, he could have prayed for a lot of things. He could have prayed. At this moment, there was a lot of things that Elisha could have asked God for. And you know what? I think God would have done it for him. Anything he asked, he would have done it for him. But instead, Elisha prays that God would open up the eyes of his servant. He prays that God opens his eyes. And guys, I want you to know that fear was completely and utterly silenced the moment that the servant's eyes were open to see God's protection and to see God's provision. In our times of distress and in our times of need, God's word is what enables us to be able to see God's protection and God's provision over our lives. And it is precisely at that moment when we can declare, like Paul said in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Don't be governed by what your limited human eyes perceived. God wants us to see with spiritual eyes. He wants us to see his protection and provision over us. He wants us to see beyond what is physically before us and into what is spiritually ahead of us. The good news is, guys, the good news is that even though the enemy is vicious, he's not victorious. He is not victorious. The good news is that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. The good news is that salvation is available to all who believe in Jesus Christ and that believe he died for our sins and that he is coming very soon. The good news is that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is that God's reality is our reality. His good news is our reality. Hallelujah. How many can say amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You need to believe it. You need to believe it. You need to believe that he is greater. He is greater. You need to believe that fear is silenced at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to believe that he is your Savior and that he's the only one that can get you through. And that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Recurring problems are not a match for God. They're not a match. We need to be alert and sober-minded because our enemy prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. God still speaks to us. So let's turn in. Let's turn that dial of prayer, fasting, and worship, and Bible study. Let's keep turning the dial until the reception of God's voice comes through clear. And it's okay to be afraid. You ain't got to live in fear. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if you're here today and you've been struggling, not knowing how to get through, I'm here to tell you, you know what? All things are possible in Jesus. All things are possible in the God that I serve. He didn't forget about Israel. He has not forgotten about you. So we want to pray with you today. Or maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Or maybe you knew the Lord and you haven't been quite where you need to be with him. I'm here to let you know it's time to wake up. It's time to be alert. It's time to become a person who is sober-minded because Jesus is coming soon. And the enemy is looking to take you out. So if you need prayer of reconciliation or you need prayer just to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, there's no day like now. There's no time like the present. Let's do this now. We'll meet you here at the altar. We'll meet you here at the altar. So as the worship team comes up, and they lead us in this next song, and you feel that this has touched you and it's blessed you, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I want to meet you here at the altar. And I want to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to introduce you to the greatest warrior that has ever been known, which is Jesus Christ, my Savior. To the one who fights my battles. To the victor. To the one who makes me victorious in Him. Hallelujah. God bless you.
How great is our God? Say with me, how great is our God? And oh, see how great.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.